that is the key that unlocks everything, that self-awareness. If we don't know what we need, we can't ask for it.
Hi, friend. Welcome to Gather and Growth, a show created for passionate, growth-focused rural women like you. From mindset work and building strong habits to exploring the unique joys and challenges of living rural, this is a show to leave you feeling joyful, inspired, and a little less alone. Together, we're on a journey of reaching for the most confident, healthy, and authentic version of ourselves, and I'm forever grateful to have you by my side. Whether you're currently running on a back road, shuffling kids to town, hopping along for a tractor ride, or three loads deep into folding laundry, grab yourself a nice coffee and let's dive in.
Hello and welcome back to Gather in Growth. It's funny, sometimes podcast episodes just completely present themselves very organically when it comes to topics. A lot of times it comes from conversations in mastermind groups or things that are happening in DMs or just stuff that's going on in my own life, observations in the world, etc. Yesterday, I had posted on my Instagram stories after a brutal run. So I am training for a half marathon and I'm not going to lie, this time around, it is very hard. The past couple times I've done this, I have been in much more prepared physical condition prior to actually training for the half marathon itself. Here I am, 5.5 months postpartum, training and with no exaggeration, slogging my way through. But we keep showing up, keep doing the thing. And on top of that, the Midwest weather this week has just been crazy. Over Easter weekend, it was beautiful, glorious. Sunshine, no wind, great temperatures, wonderful. We come home from the weekend with family and it is cold and raining and snowy and cloudy and windy. So yesterday when I set out on my run, it was like in the 30s, some sort of precipitation was falling and like 25 mile per hour winds with no exaggeration. With the way that my day was panning out, it was like, I either need to do it now or it's not going to happen. And the thing that I love about training for a specific thing is it's not like I need or I want to get some workouts in. It's like, here's the plan. And if we don't follow the plan, we're not going to be ready. And we signed up for the half marathon. We said we were going to do the half marathon. So you got to show up. That is something that running taught me, is how to show up when it is hard, when it is inconvenient, when you would rather not, which is so transferable to a lot of things in life. Running and training for something is a discipline. And even when it's not going well, when it's really hard, when the conditions are not ideal, it's truly putting in the time, putting in the reps, putting in the miles, and knowing it's going to be worth it, which that's like a whole nother podcast episode in itself. So I shared in my Instagram stories about, you know, how crummy the weather was and how hard the run was, but I did it. My time was honestly pretty on par with the pace that I have been keeping, which is not fast, by the way. I feel proud of it. Like when the conditions are the worst is usually when I feel the best on the other side of the run. There's something to be said with being like, I had all the odds stacked against me and I did it anyway. It feels good. I followed up with that on a next story slide about how running also really forcefully taught me what it looked like to recognize, advocate for, and ask for help of the things that I needed, which really opened up the door to a much bigger conversation, both in one-on-one messages in response to that in my DMs. And then today I brought that conversation to my Ignite and Grow, which is my Micromind group call. It's a group that has about 30 women in it. And oh my gosh, we talk about literally everything. Doors will be opening for my next Ignite and Grow session in June to start in July. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Anyway, we got on this topic of asking for help in the ways that so many of us struggle with it. And I'm going to be uniquely talking through the perspective of, let's say, millennial moms who predominantly live in rural communities and identify themselves as achievers or people who are goal-oriented, you know, who are actively working on trying to better their lives, be the best version of themselves, etc. So everything that I'm sharing, these notes and thoughts that I've collected is from that sampling of the general population. Maybe other people in the world experience this in a different way, but this is just my observations in the collective conversation from the past couple of days that I wanted to share. And maybe there is a piece of this that is a light bulb moment or that resonates with you. My favorite thing about these group calls, whether it's my small group masterminds or my bigger group Ignite and Grow, is that just collective feeling of like, wow, I'm not alone, or it's not just me, or goodness, I thought I was the only one. And being on this call, having this conversation has made me feel like I'm not crazy and that someone else is experiencing something similar. You know, we are all on our different trajectories with diverse journeys. But the more I dive into this work, the more similarities I see in our experiences, specifically those that we struggle through. And one topic that perpetually comes to the forefront is asking for help. It sounds as easy as, oh, I just need to ask for help. But like many things, there's so many layers beneath it. We also talked about that on our call today, how a lot of times when people come into the realm of working with or interacting with me, they come expecting to like change habits or goals or things like that. And oftentimes like are really pushing themselves into something because they think it's going to make them feel a different way. More often than not, when we peel back the layers, we see so many more nuances underneath why they are or aren't doing the things that they're doing, which always leads back to therapy, right? But we won't go there today. Today on our call, we did really dig into why do we struggle to ask for help? And then what do we do about it? For a lot of the women on the call, they were talking about even just going back to childhood conditioning. And really, there are so many, we call them like lowercase t traumas, and whether or not you use that phrase, but basically these series of micro experiences that have shaped the way we feel about ourselves, the reasons we do or don't do the things that we do, the way we experience the world, that go back to the messages we absorbed in our adolescence. And whether someone outright told us these things or whether they reacted to us in different ways based on what we did, or, you know, it could be parents, teachers, family members at large, society, like coaches, things like that. We absorb all of these nuances and bring them with us into adulthood. And as much as we think that we are, you know, independent thinkers who are past that, like we bring on a very subconscious level so much of that into our real-time state of being. If you can identify with the fact that in your childhood, you were maybe not allowed to express emotions, maybe said, like, stop crying, like, I'm gonna give you something to cry about. Or anytime you did ask for help, you were shamed or ridiculed. Or, you know, someone had really high expectations of you that you didn't feel like you could meet. And if you didn't, or if you asked for support in them, you were treated a certain way. Or maybe the opposite. Maybe that didn't necessarily happen. But when you were praised for being mature or helpful or polite or having basically as small as feelings as possible, like some part of you understood, oh, that is good. And the alternative to that is bad. There is a lot of subliminal messaging that we absorb around needing help as a sign of weakness or failure, right? We feel like we need to be Wonder Woman. We can do it all. Like we were very much raised in the you can do anything you set your mind to mentality. Like, I don't need no man. I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T, right? We were empowered to be able to do anything and everything, which is great on one hand until we became these psychotic, siloed people who don't know how to rely on each other or be in community or even advocate for what we need or accept support around it. You know, we believe that we need to be so self-sufficient and have it all together. And on another hand, maybe feel, you know, a lot of, I think the women in my community identify as helpers. We want to make the world a better place. We bend over backwards to serve, to do things for everyone around us and put ourselves on the back burners. We don't want to be seen as an inconvenience. We fear being a burden. We don't want to make anyone's lives worse by needing something. So heaven forbid we ask for it. Then on today's call, several women shared experiences about times that maybe they did ask for help or accept help in the past, and then it was used against them, or they were ridiculed for it, or it ended up backfiring and going awry, or they didn't have enough trust in the people they asked help for in order for it to see through in a way that was actually beneficial to them. And so resentment grows. And then we see this in relationships, in marriage specifically, and even more so in marriages when we have young children, how that resentment of having to hold the mental load of it all, how much that festers. You know, we just assume that our partners know how to help us and then they don't, but we never tell them what we need. And then when our partners don't help us a certain way, then we feel resentful and bitter around it. We're like sitting there folding laundry, right? And they're like scrolling their phone and they're like, oh, if you really blah, 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 he should just help me. But like, and they're sitting there like, wait, what? went home. But that conversation was never had. And that's where we really got to today, is just how much communication can make a difference in that feeling of being a burden. Also, like, how crucial it is that we even have the self-awareness around what we need. I think that that is the key that unlocks everything, is that self-awareness. If we don't know what we need, we can't ask for it. And if we can't ask for it, we may not be able to receive it. And I think this transcends really big things and really small things. In the example of running, you know, when I started my running fitness journey, 2019, 2020 or so, I, as I know many of you do, harbored so much guilt around taking time away from my kids or inconveniencing my husband when he had other things he needed to do. I came to understand how much more of a detriment it was to everyone if I wasn't nurturing my needs first. It's why when you're on an airplane, they, you know, stop if you have a kid next to you and they're like, put your oxygen mask on first, right? We all know this, but how often do we ignore that advice in everyday real life? It's taken Andrew and I quite a bit of learning and growing through this over the years to be able to articulate our needs and navigate and prioritize them. If we're constantly just assuming that no one's going to help us, resentment grows. And then we get salty about, well, I don't have any time to do this because nobody helps me, or no one can help me. A lot of things that we believe are stories that we're telling ourselves, and maybe they're true, maybe they're not. So specifically for us, if I know that I want / need to go on a run, in the example of yesterday, you know, I came to him and I said, okay, I need to go to town today. I know that you have things that you need to do. I'd really like to go on a run. Like, it really sucks outside, but it feels like I need to do it now or it's not going to happen today. And he's like, yeah, you're probably right. And he's like, well, you could like take the stroller. No, I am not a stroller pushing runner mom. If you are one of those people, high five. I feel like it feels like running in place while moving. And that might not make sense unless you've tried it before. I hate stroller running. I will walk forever pushing a stroller, but running, I got to be able to use my arms. Like, my legs are strong enough to carry me running as is. And you add a stroller in the mix, my legs are like, that's a funny joke. And it was so cold and windy. Like, I'm sorry, my baby does not want to be outside for 40 minutes when it is cold and windy and rainy. Like, that's just not going to work. This is our third time around having a baby. And now more than ever, I know that I'm like, my entire day currently in the season is adjusted because I am the primary caregiver for this small, beautiful human who you also created. I'm not doing this alone. Okay. I did that. I tried that the first time around and it just made me bitter and angry. And so I said, okay, listen, I'm going to be with her the rest of the day. I'd really like an hour to, you know, walk a little bit, run a little bit, walk a little bit. And we knew that he had to run to the bank and run to the post office, which both ended up being closed because small town things. If you know, you know. And I'm like, and honestly, if she's in the car seat, she's probably going to fall asleep. So take her to the farm and like do whatever you're going to do in the shop for a few minutes. And I'll be there within an hour and a half. And he was like, okay, that sounds fair. But like, had I not asked, he would have just left for the day. And that is no fault of him whatsoever. It just like, until we got in the practice of having these types of conversations, there were so many things that didn't necessarily cross his mind. And I would say he probably would say the same thing about me in some ways. The point is, without getting in the habit of communicating in such a way, it is so easy to harbor resentment over assumptions and like bitterness over help we're not receiving when we don't know, advocate for, or ask for it. And yes, I understand everyone's circumstances look different. Okay. I am speaking from my experience and maybe making statements that don't make sense to you. But whether or not it's your spouse or maybe a grandma, maybe someone else, there are people in your life who can help you if you let them. For example, like, our housekeeper came this morning. That is the best freaking money I spend every 2 weeks, is having her come and clean my house. I adore her. She is my fairy house mother, house godmother. So I don't even know. She's the absolute best. But it took me realizing I actually cannot and no longer want to do it all. How many expectations and assumptions do you have of yourself that you have so deeply internalized that no one else has even told you? Like, I got to the point that I'm like, it is more important to me to spend time with my children when they are home than it is for me to be spending time cleaning. Like, someone else can do that for me, and I'm okay with that. You know, and you might be sitting here going, well, my spouse can't for blah, 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 blah reasons. Okay. We don't have any family nearby. Okay. There very well could be another mom in your community who feels the same way. There could be someone in your kid's class or on their baseball team that also feels like they don't have support from their spouse or from family or whatnot. Is there a way that you can help each other? Could you get together and just like have some time? Or could you be like, hey, on Tuesday afternoon, you bring your kids over and I'll keep them entertained. And I don't know about you guys, when my kids have a friend over, like they are far more entertained than they are just home alone with me. And then on Thursday, I'll bring my kids to your house and then I get an evening. Or could it be that, you know, you hire a high school girl to come over 2 days a week for 2 hours after school so that you can do your workout or sit down and pay bills without answering 20 million questions or whatever it may be. Sometimes you have to think outside the box. You got to get creative with your solutions. But none of that is possible until you have the self-awareness to know what your threshold is, where you're overwhelmed, what changes you'd like to make, and what is your priority. Once you have awareness around what you need and how someone can help, then you got to choose who makes sense for that and in a way that makes sense for them. On our call today, someone was sharing about how they had had an experience where they did ask for help and it like totally backfired. It didn't go the way that they wanted it to. It ended up being more of a burden and it was super frustrating. The situation was she had a work conference and she had brought along, I want to say it was her mother-in-law and all of her kids to like come be in the hotel while she had her work conference. And by like the second day, the grandma was like, this is too much. You have to take the baby, blah, blah, blah. And so obviously that was really frustrating because there was totally different expectations of what the experience was going to be like. Mom was feeling like, oh my gosh, like I had you come because I needed help in such a thing. And now this is not helpful. This is even more stressful. Like, bah, I can't depend on you and rely on you. And so we kind of took that apart. And of course, feelings are valid. Like that was a really frustrating situation. But we also brainstormed like, okay, maybe that specific way of helping you was beyond her threshold. The idea of spending 2 or 3 or 4 days with 5 grandkids or however many, I don't remember the exact number, in a hotel room, like maybe sounded like a good idea. But when it actually came to the like day-to-day childcare, like that was well beyond what she was comfortable with or emotionally capable of. So what does it look like then to be an ongoing communication around expectations and allowing people to help you in a way that actually helps you and makes sense for you and also honors their energy, their time, their expectations, and having that back and forth dialogue of, is this working for you? Does this work for me? Et cetera, et cetera. And if there is someone in your life that you would love help from that is then using it against you, guilting you over it, making it feel like an inconvenience, then let's just put it out there that that's probably not actually helping you. The payoff is not worth it. So maybe that person does not get to help you in that way and you got to find a different alternative or be able to acknowledge going into it, I know that this person's going to help me in such and such way. They're then going to react this way and I have to be okay with that and like learn to manage my expectations around the situation. So much of this comes down to communication and expectations. And if there is a person in your life that is making you feel such a way when they're supposed to be helping, then that is like a whole nother conversation to have. And one, honestly, that you should talk to a therapist about because that's a whole nother conversation. But that's not the end all be all. So often we see situations in black and white. Well, if this isn't working out, then obviously I can't accept help from anyone ever. Like I'm just doomed. I got to do it all. I'm Supermoon. It's fine. I'll just figure it out. No. Mm-mm. There are so many different gray areas here. There's so many different options. Another example that we talked about is household division of labor and getting so frustrated about being the one who is like harboring the responsibility of it all. First of all, there's a lot of different ways to tackle this conversation. One of the most effective communication strategies, especially in marriages, is like us versus the problem instead of like, you never do this or I need your help with this and you're lazy. Like none of that. The problem is we have a lot on our plate and I'm feeling massively overwhelmed. I know that you are too, but something about this doesn't feel right. So can we sit down together and list out everything that's on our plates and figure out what doesn't need to be there in the first place, what could be readjusted, even just see how unbalanced that division is and then make changes. If you are letting someone else in your house do something that you normally do, you also have to let them do it in their own way. If you say you want your husband, your spouse, your partner, whoever, your roommate to do the dishes and they don't do it the way you do it, and it's not perfect, and then you stomp over and redo it or get all salty about how they don't know how to do anything and don't know how to do it right, like that person ain't gonna help you no more. I'm sorry. You gotta let it go. If something becomes someone else's responsibility and then you're still micromanaging the situation, that is actually not helpful for you. That is like making you crazier. Yeah, bless and release. So much of this is holding ourselves to expectations that are completely unrealistic and that like no one put on us in the first place. And if they did, maybe you get to evaluate whether or not that person's opinion of X, Y, and Z actually matters, because you are in control of your own life and your own reality and how you spend your time, effort, and energy. And if someone else has such a massive opinion around that, that's a different conversation, again, for a therapist. If there's anything that I know, it is that there is so much value in recognizing that you do not have to do everything alone. And maybe it's a helpful reframe to not even just be like, I'm asking for help, but so much as like, I need support, or I have awareness around my emotional threshold, and I'm going to lean into other people who are eager to support me in that. A lot of times that like mom guilt creeps in, like when kids spend time with their grandparents or like an aunt or a babysitter or something like that. And I know that there is so much beauty and value in my kids having relationships with adults who aren't just me. And don't get me, like I have an incredible relationship with all my kids, but they also have beautiful relationships with both of their grandmas because we have leaned into them for support with childcare. And in so many ways, they might do things differently than I do. Gosh, that's a thing. Oh my God, if I open any mom group on Facebook, it is people complaining about the ways that their in-laws and their parents interact with their kids. And yes, of course, if there are like legitimate safety things at play, those are conversations you need to have. But if you're asking people to help and they're doing it differently than you, you have to be okay with that. That's part of it. If you want people to just be copy and paste versions of you, that's completely unrealistic and it's going to be frustrating for everyone. You kind of got to pick your battles. You got to know what are the most important things that you want that person to honor for your child's safety and well-being and development. And anything beyond that, you need to accept the fact that someone is going to do it differently than you, and that's not a bad thing. That gives your kids the opportunity to see different thoughts and views and opinions and lifestyles and perspectives, and that's okay. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. And in order for our kids to build really meaningful relationships with other adults, we have to give them the opportunity to be with them. Now, of course, if for whatever reason, the other adults in your life are genuinely not trustworthy or harmful or, you know, abusive, toxic, dangerous, this does not apply. But I'm talking generally speaking, your mom, your mother-in-law, your sister-in-law, your best friend might do things differently than you do. And that's okay. You gotta let it go. You gotta pick your battles and you gotta let it go. So often we say like, gosh, I'll see memes that are like, oh, you know, where's this village that everyone's talking about? Like, it takes a village, but where is mine? Yada, yada, yada. We actually close out anyone who would be willing to be part of it. We actually do not invite anyone else in. Instead, we'd rather sit and harbor guilt and resentment and frustration and anger around the fact that no one's just like magically showing up. And when they do show up, if they show up differently than we want them to, we immediately shut them out. You have got to be willing to let people in to help you and support you. You do not have to do it all. You do not have to do it all perfectly. You do not have to be Superwoman. You get to build a beautiful life of your own choosing. The more we lean into vulnerability and allowing the people that love us to support us, the more that that can flourish. Once you get in the habit and practice of having those conversations, really great things can come of it. Not every time, but a lot of times when we're all home as a family on the weekend, like I'll ask my husband, like, what are your expectations for this weekend, right? Because everyone comes in to a weekend or a day or an evening and he's thinking like, you know, I want to mow the yard. I need to get on the roof and clean out the gutters. Like, I'd really like to burn trash. I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. I like to do that. And I'm like, great. I really have this project I'd like to spend some time working on. I would like to go on a run. Like, you know, we need to organize this, blah, blah, blah. And if we both keep those expectations to ourselves and never communicate them, chances are he's going to walk outside to mow the lawn and then I'm going to be all salty because like I'm inside doing all the things or vice versa. But if we have that conversation, we can be like, okay, you're going to go mow the lawn while I do X, Y, and Z with the kids or do blah, blah, blah inside. And then when you come in, I'm going to go on my run and then you're going to do that. And it's a trade-off. And guess what, guys? There's no such thing as like 50-50 equal 1000% of the time. But when you get in the habit together of that give and take, when you allow each other to support each other's needs, wants, desires, and goals and dreams, it becomes so much more of a teamwork-centered relationship. Long story short, because I've got to wrap this up, because speaking of help, my mom is here and has my baby upstairs, but she is going to run to school to grab my daughter. So I need to bring this full circle. You don't have to do it all. And you likely have people in your life who want to support you. You just have to have the self-awareness to what you need and how to ask for it and letting them do it imperfectly or in a different way that you would. And if you genuinely do not feel like you have a single person in your life that you can go to for support, then I challenge you to create it. Build relationships with people that you can rely on. Because chances are, if you are feeling that lonely and isolated and unsupported, someone else is too. And that can be a really beautiful thing to come together to find and build your village that you wish that you had. If anything in this episode was helpful, I would absolutely love if you'd send it along to someone else. Please feel welcome to shoot me a DM, share your thoughts. Is this something that you struggle with? Is this something you have overcome in your lifetime or are still grappling with, of how to ask for help and why it's important in letting go? Would love to continue this chat in DMs, messages, or emails. Always here for you. And I am seriously so forever grateful for you. Until next time.
Have I told you today how much I appreciate you? I'd like to imagine this was a meaningful backyard patio kind of chat between friends sipping LaCroix at sunset. If you enjoyed today's show, please take a screenshot to share or forward this episode to a friend. You can also find me at Emily Rushell over on social to continue the conversation. It's truly a joy to hear what tidbits and takeaways made an impact on your day. As always, all links and resources mentioned in today's episode can be found in the show notes listed below or over at emilyrushell.com. Special thanks to my podcast manager, Jill Carr, for the time and love she puts into producing Gather and Growth for this community. What a blessing it is to be on this personal growth journey together. Forever grateful for you.